You follow me? There are two types of emotions, aggressive and passive. The aggressive heats you up and eats you up, both. It heats you up and it eats you up. Those are aggressive ones, like envy, jealousy, hatred. You follow me? Now, if you do not suffer from this, there is no need to practice it. I am taking it up just to show what an aggressive emotion is. It is better if you see it in front of a mirror, because you should feel that emotion whenever you are doing it. From the corrective exercise, the first and second are passive. The third and fourth are aggressive. First I am taking the aggressive one. I am taking the fourth exercise. It is hatred. Do you know what hatred is? You torture a person slowly, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. That much you hate a person, that is called hatred. You see how aggressive it is. All the time your mind is on that person to see that that person suffers. So it's a very aggressive emotion. And see the selected portion that I have used to explain that hatred. Do you suppose you suffer from hatred? Does a thought such as the following, if not to the same intensity, cross your mind? What does the thought say now? If I catch him once upon the hip, your teeth are all very tightly held, And what does it say? If I catch him once upon the heel, I will feel fair the ancient grudge I bear him. You see? Look into the mirror and work yourself into it. That is an aggressive emotion. Let us see the passive emotion as compared to this. What does it say? Take the first exercise, the fear of death. Here, the fear of death is countered by a very soft quotation. We read, there is yet a world where souls are free, where tyrants taint not nature's bliss. If death, that world's bright opening be, oh, who would leave a slave in this? You see? So you see the state of your mind. You must bring up that state of the mind. If it is aggressive, you must be aggressive. If it is passive, sink into a passive state. And then the important point is, just as you are doing the phase exercise, what are you doing in phase? You are starting with 12, then you are going to 36, then you are coming down to 18, and then you are going to 12. The 3 SRB at different levels is correcting. It is most important, it is correcting. You see? It is also a corrective of emotions. These exercises are also a corrective of emotions. Here we use our breath. Here we are using the pitch of the sound of our voice. The sound of our voice, whether it is high or low. So let us see what it says here. Read the quotation again mentally, then a little aloud, then yet more aloud. You see, from passive state you are coming up in pitch. A little aloud, then yet more aloud, and finally softly, very softly. See, you are going from 12 to 36, to 18, to 12. These are corrective ways. By the sound is one method, by the breath is another method. But whether it is passive or whether it is active in motion, aggressive, bring up that symptom. If you are really afraid, you see, there must be fear here. You should feel fear here. You should be cowed down. When you are aggressive, come forward. Your hands and your eyes, you see, you must see into the mirror to see whether you reflect what you read. I don't think most of you would need these exercises as far as corrective exercises are concerned. But once in a way to do them, it would be nice. You may not do them daily, though none of you is doing it. But once in a way you might do it. Once a week, once a fortnight, you can do that. These are very good exercises. You may not suffer from hatred and jealousy, but irritability you would take it up. Weakness for sex, some of you may have. These two.
Fear.
Unexplained fear could be there, yeah. Unhappiness could be there. I don't mean you're afraid to die, are you? So, once in a way, at least once a week, go over one of them by turn.
Okay. Of believing in it, it can't help you. It is the power of the universe, and the power is wasted. You cannot use it. It is yours. It is for you. Each divine fragment is in each individual, and each divine fragment can heal. Can heal anything. Either there from cancer to anything. Heal yourself daily for at least 5-7 minutes. And then you, within a few days, you will see it. Your ailments will go one by one, whatever they are. But you have to forgive if there is anyone to forgive. And if you have to be forgiven, ask for being forgiven. That is easy. But to forgive is a little more difficult. The only person I can't forgive is
myself. I have nothing with anyone else to settle.
Simply go ahead. Have faith in your own divine fragment to heal. By the time you will come back, you will be healed. Take it from me. Good luck. Thank you.
Bedrock to me. program, as you know.
What's the program? Physical question? I don't know. I'll give the answer that. I'm a very difficult question. And some people have asked me questions. I'm very funny. There was a very old and sick-looking beggar. He was a great devotee of Shiva. Shiva came down to him and said, ask one boon. I don't want anything, but if you insist, I would like to see my grandchildren play in a palace. He was old, he was sick, he was blind. So first he had to be made young, then he had to be given a wife, then he had children, then his children had to be married so that he would get grandchildren. He had to be made rich so that he can build a palace, then he can see his grandchildren play in that palace. He asked only one thing, I want to see my grandchildren play in a palace. Some of the questions are like that. In short, what do you know all about yoga, please write. Something like that. Some of the questions are like that. The three important but difficult questions are: A, explain the diagrams. 1, 2, 3, 3A, 3B, 3C. The second question says, explain the intensity chart. These are difficult questions. You will have to come here from morning till evening for one such question. Anyway, I will take the smaller question. Emptying the boat mean? What can one do or not do to empty the boat? Not do is very easy. What we can do to empty the boat, we'll see. What does emptying the boat mean? In simple English, emptying the boat means whatever the boat contains, throw it out. Means that. That's a very simple matter. But from this boat, to throw out everything till it is empty, might require 50-100 lives normally. Because as you empty, it fills up. It's like a boat that has a hole. You go on throwing the water and the water comes in. That's your boat here, with the hole, so that the water keeps coming in. You keep on throwing the water out and it is never empty. So first, the boat that you have should not have a hole. If it has a hole, please cover it, so that water may not keep coming in. Understand? That means, first you will have to follow such methods, so that your oscillations into the past and into the future will stop. Because unless daydreaming and brooding stops, you will keep on building thoughts, more and more thoughts, more and more thoughts. So first, the most important thing would be to seal your boat.
to prevent your body, to prevent your mind, your brain from oscillating, it must be anchored to a thought, which is not creative of further oscillation. A thought that is so steady as to keep your mind steady. Such a thought could be a short japa. Such a thought could be visualizing the plane at the back. Always you visualize the plane, whatever your activities are. And thereby, a japa like Om Satyam Param Dhimahi, a japa like Radhe Krishna, or any short japa that your mind would like to hold on to, it should be repeated mentally, continuously, side by side with whatever other activities you may have. Don't tell me that it would be difficult to hold on to that as well as be busy with other activities. Because that is the way your brain works continuously. Though you may be busy with certain activities, your brain is oscillating simultaneously. So instead of letting the brain oscillate between the past and the future, that part of the brain should do either a japa or hold on to the divine flame, one of the two. That would mean preventing further filling up the boat. How will you empty the boat? How will you empty the boat? You will fill the boat so that you may not add further. How will you empty the boat? How will you empty the boat? Anyone can give me a suggestion? How will you empty the boat? Because I know. What have you got in that boat?
Memory.
Very good. What have you got in that boat? Memory. That can be nothing else but memory. Past or present. How will you empty? There are two methods. One is exile memory, the second is freeze memory. By freezing the memory will be in the boat, but in a dormant state. Exile means throwing out of the boat. Understand? When do we exalt memory? When we reach the diagram 3B. When we reach the diagram 3B, we do not make use of memory. Till we reach diagram 3A, we make use of memory. If we are on diagram 1 and 2, we only live in the past. In diagram 3A, we make good use of memory. In diagram 3B, we exile memory.
So in short, the whole idea of this statement is to come to the state of diagram 3B when you exile your memory. Your memory does not interrupt when you don't want it. To get the definition, normally exile means to throw a person out of the kingdom. Our kingdom is the brain. To put memory out of the brain, that means not make use of memory when we don't want. To that state we have to come by certain practices, by certain methods. Till then we will not be able to either seal the leak in the pore or prevent memory from imposing on us. We may not want to make use of certain past memories, but we are helpless. If your daughter, who normally comes home by 8:30, has not come home till 10:30, whether there's a nice program on the TV, your mind goes out of the window, where is she, what has happened, something must have happened. You again look at the TV, you forget the TV, again you look out of the window. You try to throw that memory out for 5 minutes. No, she'll come, I'll look at the TV. No, your mind will go out of the window. Normally, memory imposes on you. You are not the master of your memory. Though you have created your memory is your master, you are not. You are not the master of your memory. You see? So, memory imposes itself. How to come to a stage when memory will not impose on you? You will use memory as you want, when you want. That is the state which is described as bhikshu and tirtha. It means a lot of things to be done with one small sentence. Do you have now a fair idea of what I have to tell you about emptying the boat or sealing the leak of the boat so that no further addition is done, reaching a state whereby memory does not impose on you, you are able to make use of memory as and when you want. Day you will come to that state, you will not need a teacher. Because all you have to learn is this. The day you learn this, you don't need a teacher. You don't need books, you don't need teacher. So, in a way, this simple sentence is a very difficult sentence, a very profound sentence, and try to understand it. Perhaps in the course of the day, I will come again to this beautiful sentence, Bhikshu empty the boat. Prevents the brain from hearing the divine fragments respond. See? What prevents the brain from hearing divine fragments whisper? What all one can do to remove the hindrances and obstacles? It's big question. The first point arises, does the divine fragment whisper? If the divine fragment does whisper, then the question arises, what prevents us from hearing the whisper we receive from divine fragment? And then it means, what all one can do to remove the hindrances and obstacles that prevent us from hearing the whisper of the divine fragment. You have a divine fragment. Honest boy is very honest. He said, I don't know. Normally people say yes, because they believe so. And all we can do for the time being is believe that we have a divine fragment. Believe that we have something called a soul. And then believe that it whispers every now and then, telling you so many things. Even if there were no divine fragment, even if there were no divine fragment within us, even then, the infinite divine mind that flows to us continuously, it does whisper. Therefore, in yoga practices, the earlier practices are to hear the whisper of the infinite divine mind. When we succeed in doing that, our next step is to hear the whisper of the divine fragment. And we can do this if we who are so busy that we have not even a moment to do anything worthwhile, so busy with our nonsensical way of life, so busy wasting our time all 24 hours, so busy that we may not have 5 minutes to see a sick friend, we who are always very busy, we have not a moment to spare from our beautiful pastime of going into the past, of going into the future. That one business we do all 24 hours, whether awake or asleep, from that Herculean task of ours, we have not a single moment to hear the whisper either of the divine fragment or of the infinite divine mind. So, in short, the obstacles and the hindrances that we are talking about are our very busyness, our entire busyness whole day of finding no time from our worthless, meaningless internal dialogues. We call a man a lunatic if he talks loudly alone. I bet every one of you is talking alone, but silently. So I may call you silent lunatics. Those are obvious lunatics who talk to themselves loudly. I've seen people, hey, kaya karte re? And you say, poor lunatic. We do the same thing, we talk to ourselves alone all day. Have you ever seen people, they even shake the hands, the heads and as they sit or talk or walk? Oh my God. We are silent lunatics. And we are not free for a moment from these internal dialogues. Worthless internal dialogues. And these internal dialogues create a type of noise. Oh, we are very much against this traffic noise. We are very much against the noise we have during those Navratri or whatever it is, the loudspeakers blaring and all that. We don't make so many noises. We even say noise pollution. And the noise we create for 24 hours, 365 days in the year, talking to ourselves. There is no prohibition for that. Now a whisper is a whisper. How will it come through this noise that you are creating it throughout the day? So, we go back to the earlier question that was asked, Bhikshu, empty the boat. This is very difficult. I know it is very difficult. But in a way I catch myself murmuring inside. I'm sure I can't find much fault with you if you are talking to yourself, having your own dialogues. But the human being is different from all life because it has speech. And this speech itself leads to a dialogue. And from this dialogue we are not free. The animals, to a certain extent, may have much less dialogue in their brains than a human being has. This is the major difficulty. Otherwise, imagine yourself, have you seen a sponge in water, a piece of sponge in water? Water is all around, inside, outside of that piece of sponge. We are like that piece of sponge, and the divine infinite mind is in, out, around, everywhere. And yet, we don't know where the divine mind exists. Though it is interpenetrating us, like water and sponge, we are not even aware that there is something called infinite mind flowing through me all the 24 hours, every moment. Unfortunately, the thing about which we are not aware does not exist for us. A galaxy is a huge thing, a galaxy. Most of them, each of them would be about 90,000 light years in diameter. But since we are not aware, we have no idea what a galaxy could be. In the same way, if we are not aware that there is something like infinite divine mind flowing through me, it does not exist for me. the first thing necessary is to be aware. The first thing that is very necessary is to be aware. But you may be aware from morning till night, but that awareness is the awareness one can have after a dose of morphia. Our total awareness from morning till night is of the texture of awareness that we may hope to have after a strong dose of morphia. That is our awareness. And on that level of awareness we live daily. Such awareness that a friend passes by and we don't even know that he or she has passed by. Our awareness is very much on the surface. That surface awareness is also automatic. You'll get up in the morning, you'll brush your teeth, you'll have your tea or coffee, you'll dress up, you'll take your bath, you'll go out. All this will happen without you knowing it that you are doing it. So with this type of awareness, and this awareness, busy 24 hours with the oscillations of past and the future, can you imagine a more solid state of affairs than this? That's our normal living. A pathetic state of living. In this pathetic state of living, we want to ask those noble questions, how to empty the court, how to overcome obstacles and hindrances. These are contradictory things. A child of 12 months wants to know what physics means. Even if it is conveyed, will the child understand? You are putting yourself and me in a sorry state where communications could be difficult. By no stretch of imagination, I want to tell you that you are far below a certain standard of grasping. I am not telling you that. Your standard of grasping can be tremendously high. It has the obstacle of your automatic, superfluous awareness. Why did the ancient people bring out the thought about dana, dhyana, samadhi? Why? Because naturally they found the human being, however intelligent, had his or her awareness that was automatic, that was always on the surface, that was always too busy with his past and future. And to give you proof of what I have been telling you is, taking the average age of all of you, SF 35, average age. In 35 years, can you honestly tell me you have spent 3 minutes for independent of your own thinking, constructive thinking? 3 minutes in your life of 35 years average year, have you done 3 minutes of constructive individual thinking?
That is not a borrowed thought. I dare say you have not. That means your 35 years have been spent on borrowed thoughts. That means you have never loved your brain to wake up. It has been in a state of half sleep. You have accepted all borrowed thoughts, you have repeated them, forgotten all about life. That is what we have done. And there is no guarantee that I am doing the same thing. There is no guarantee that I am also picking up some borrowed thoughts and like a tape recorder, putting up to you. And posing that I know so much. It could be that also. But I assure you, honestly, daily, I spend some time to do constructive, individual thought of my own thinking. That is very essential. This is what I want to stress upon you, that this is very essential. And when can we do our own independent thinking, constructive thinking? When we are in a state of dhyana. Or whether we are in a state of dhyana. I am not telling you to meditate. I have always been against meditation. Meditation is a mask of being inactive and letting the mind roam. I am talking about a few minutes of independent thinking. It boils down to a few minutes daily where setting aside your past and the future, you want your brain, your individual mind to tune to the infinite mind. You will say, I don't know whether there is an infinite mind. I can't see an infinite mind. Okay. Don't wait to see. Believe my word that the divine infinite mind is there, and hold yourself silently for a few minutes to listen. And if you want to listen to that whisper, you will have to maintain total silence, not outside silence, inner silence also. Can you do that for 3 minutes daily? Can you do that for 3 minutes daily? Be intent on hearing nothing else but some promptings coming from inside you, just for 3 minutes. That is why the practice of sitting cross-legged, eyes closed, began. How correctly it is done today, I don't know. But anybody trying to do for half an hour, 1 hour, is all meaningless. Try to do it for 3 minutes, not more. Sit quietly, with eyes closed. Don't even repeat a japa. That may be a nuisance. Just be intent on hearing, as if some sound from a great distance is coming and you want to hear it. Just for 3 minutes, if you can devote yourself, maintaining silence, exterior and interior, to catch one little whisper. Try to do that for 3 minutes a day.